This Is Your Life, episode 36. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about how to develop more discipline. This is a particularly relevant topic this time of year, since by now, most of us are struggling to maintain our New Year's resolutions, and if you're like me, your resolve has already been tested, and you might even be thinking about giving up. Well, don't throw in the towel just yet. I'm going to share with you some very practical advice from the trenches, and I promise this will be news you can use. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Platform University, which is an online resource for helping you launch your personal platform or take it to the next level. I haven't talked about this before, but I'm so excited to introduce you to it. You can find out more at platformuniversity.com. With the publication of my new book, Platform, last year, I introduced you to the importance of building a platform and shared a framework for doing so. And I've also discussed this topic here on this podcast. In fact, it's episodes 13 and 14, if you want to go back and listen to them. But as you may know, the book hit the New York Times, USA Today, and Wall Street Journal bestseller lists, and that created a lot of interest in platform building. I got literally thousands of comments, tweets, and emails from people who were inspired to start building their platform. But the book was just the beginning. This year, I want to provide even more help to those who are truly committed to growing their platform and impacting the world. And I can't wait to share with you what we've created. My team and I have been working hard for months on this project, and we're just about ready to unveil it. But first, I thought I'd share some of the backstory behind what really happened in the early days of building my platform and how it grew to the point it is today with over 350,000 monthly blog readers and more than 36,000 podcast listeners per episode. And so to do that, we've created a three-part video series called Behind the Platform. I really think it will inspire you, and best of all, it's free. And if you like it, you can opt in to receive the other two videos, again, absolutely free. You're also welcome to share these with your friends. But I reveal everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, including my own struggles with fear and doubt and a showdown I had with my board at Thomas Nelson over the topic of social media. Again, you can watch the first video free at platformuniversity.com. I'd love for you to watch it. Leave me a comment. I've already received over 600 comments there at the time I'm recording this, and I've read every single one, and I've replied to many, and I'd love to hear from you. So let's get into this episode. I know a lot of people laugh off New Year's resolutions, but I don't think you're that kind of person. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast where we talk so much about personal development and leadership. But if you're like me, you struggle with discipline. And I know that's a surprise to many people. A lot of people think that I'm very disciplined and productive, but I really struggle with it. Maybe you have great intentions like I do, but just as you get a little momentum, something derails you. And that's really been the story of my life the last 6 weeks. But we may get a little sloppy in our workout schedule, for example, over the holidays. I normally run 4 days a week, but for the month of December, I was averaging about two. Not really that good. So I recommitted myself, as I do several times a year, it seems, and decided that I would start off the year with a bang and get in 4 days a week. Absolutely no exceptions. I was determined. And I decided that January 1st would be the day I begin my training for the Country Music Half Marathon in April as well. I love having a target or a goal out there, and that's mine to get a jump start on running for this year. Well, on New Year's Eve, Gail and I started getting scratchy voices. In fact, my voice still sounds a little scratchy, and I'll tell you why. We hadn't been sick in years, literally, but the word is hardly in our vocabulary. We just hate to admit when we're sick. We hate to get sick. We do our very best to stay healthy. So when we got these scratchy voices, we just kind of blew it off. But by morning, New Year's Day, it was obvious that we both had bad colds. And then, unfortunately, it turned into bronchitis. In fact, I'm still recovering from it. But we went to the doctor. We got some help. But needless to say, I haven't run once this new year. It's been kind of discouraging. But what about you? Maybe you decided to lose some weight this year and you're already cheating on your diet. Or maybe you decided this would be the year you read through the Bible and you've already skipped a few days. Or maybe you decided you're going to get serious about getting out of debt this year. You set a goal, but you've already spent money on something you know you shouldn't have done. Well, good news, you're not alone, I can assure you, and that's why I want to talk today about discipline. Everybody knows that you can't succeed without discipline, yet few people seem to possess it. My good friend Andy Andrews asked this question: can you make yourself do something you don't want to do in order to get a result you really want? Let me just repeat that. It's such a great question. Can you make yourself do something you don't really want to do in order to get a result you really want? And if so, then you're disciplined, at least in that area. Congratulations. The key in Andy's definition of discipline is focusing on a result you really want. In this sense, the key to discipline is goal setting, but setting your goals in a particular way, and that's what I want to cover in this session. Well, over the years, I've found that I become more disciplined in any area of my life by taking five specific steps. And whether it's trying to get in shape, maintain my blog, or develop a great marriage, the psychology is exactly the same. So here they are. But step number one, determine your goal. Notice in Andy's definition that the key is in knowing what you really want. If you're going to succeed, you've got to get specific. You've got to be able to see it. A goal is nothing more than a vision for a specific area of your life, but you've got to focus on the result, what you see. That's why we call it a vision. This isn't an aspiration. It's not a hope. It's a goal. And the way that you write a goal has got to be very intentional, and it's got to be very specific, and your goals need to be, and maybe you've heard this before, SMART, S-M-A-R-T, and that's an acronym that provides a checklist, really, or a filter for making sure that you what you have is indeed a goal and not merely an aspiration. So let me walk you through the SMART acronym, and then I'll give you some examples of SMART goals to make this very specific and very concrete. And if you're struggling with discipline, that's one of the first things to look at, is to go back and review your goals and make sure that they are written according to this SMART format. Well, the S in SMART stands for specific. Your goals just identify exactly what you want to accomplish in as much specificity as you can muster. The M stands for measurable. As the old adage says, you can't manage what you can't measure. So there may be a numeric component to it, not always, but often, but a numeric component that makes it measurable. The A stands for actionable. Every goal should start with a verb, like quit, or run, or finish, or eliminate, or launch. You know, the list goes on and on, but start with a verb. The R stands for realistic. Now, you got to be careful here. A good resolution should stretch you, but you've got to add a dose of common sense. In fact, as I've said before in episode number 5, I think, the really interesting things, the really important things in life happen outside your comfort zone. And that's why it's a breakthrough. You have to find some place north of your comfort zone, but south of your delusional zone. And as I turn the dial on this, I intentionally try to make myself uncomfortable. I want to get that goal out there outside of my comfort zone, but I still want to be excited about the goal. And so I don't want to give up before I start by going too far. So if you do that, then just dial it back a little bit so that you can see some progress, build momentum, and actually accomplish your goal and stretch yourself further the next time. It's a little bit like working out. You know, you don't want to go into the gym and try to bench press twice as much weight as you've ever pressed before. I mean, that would be stupid. That's a recipe for an injury, a recipe for getting discouraged and not continuing with your program. So instead, you want to focus on incremental growth and really move it, move the needle in that way. And I'll get more into that in just a minute. The T in SMART, and this is so important, it stands for time bound. Every goal needs a date associated with it. When do you plan to deliver on that goal? It could be by year end, like say December the 31st, 2013. It could be more near term, like March the 31st, 2013. But as Dave Ramsey says, and as I've quoted him before, a goal without a date is not a goal. It's just an aspiration. Okay, let me give you a few examples to make this clear. Here are some examples of SMART goals. Lose 20 pounds of body fat by December the 31st, 2011. Or launch a new blog on March the 1st with at least 5 blog posts written and scheduled for publication, which, by the way, is a great idea if you're thinking about launching a blog, is don't just launch it with one post, but have some in what I call the bank so that you can be consistent, which is a hugely important component of building your platform. Here's another SMART goal. Pay off $6,000 worth of credit card debt by December the 31st, 2013. Or here's another one. Finish the first draft of my novel by September the 30th, 2013. So you get the idea. All of these are objective. You will know on the specific date whether or not you accomplished the goal because there's an objective criterion. Either you lost the 20 pounds or you didn't. Either you launched your blog with 5 posts in the bank or you didn't. Either you paid your $6,000 worth of debt or you didn't. Either you finished the novel or you didn't. It's very cut and dry, matter of fact, and objective. So this is where you start. Set a specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, time-bound goal. And you can remember that by using the acronym SMART. And by the way, if you forget this, if you're listening to it on the treadmill or whatever, it's in the show notes, so you can go there and get the details. One other hint, by the way, on this first step, keep your goals few in number. Studies show that you really can't focus on more than 5 to 7 items at any one time. And don't try to cheat this, like I've seen some people do, and I've done myself, by including sections with several goals under each section. This is a recipe for losing focus and accomplishing very little. So instead, focus on a handful of annual goals that you can almost repeat from memory. You want to dial it in and be focused and not attempt too much, but really give all your energy, all your resources to accomplishing those few goals that you set out to achieve. So that's step number one, determine your goal. Step number two, list your reasons. This is often the missing piece in both goal setting and discipline. You've got to ask, why is this goal important? What is at stake in achieving it? I list both the positive reasons and the negative. For example, I want more energy if this were a health-related goal, or I want to lower my cholesterol, or I don't want to put myself at risk for heart disease, or I want to live long enough to see my grandchildren get married, or I want to look more trim, especially on video, or I want to demonstrate that I can lead myself, or I want to be a good example to my family, which, by the way, is hugely important because you're constantly modeling what it means to be a grown-up if you're a parent, or what it means to be the leader of organization if you're a boss or a supervisor or a leader in a company or a nonprofit organization. Or I want to be free from the worry of finances. All these are great examples of reasons. Whatever it is, write it down, write your list for each goal, and then, and this is the beauty of it, when you're tempted to quit, like you surely will be, you can remember why this goal is important. And this is how you get leverage for yourself. Figure out the why, and it will make the what so much easier. So step number two is to list your reasons and really connect with them emotionally. These have got to be reasons that are important to you. Not important to your spouse, not important to your boss, not important to your best friend, but reasons that are important to you. What's at stake? List those reasons. That's step number two. Step number three, identify likely obstacles. You know, as soon as you start swimming against the current, you're going to start feeling resistance. It's as if the universe conspires to keep you from succeeding. And that's why you have to anticipate these obstacles and build strategies to overcome them. I took on so much in the last 6 weeks, including the launch of Platform University, including a bunch of projects that we're going to be unveiling this next year, my WordPress theme and a bunch of other things. But there was a lot of resistance over the last 6 weeks, which is also why I haven't done a podcast in a while. But that's why you've also got to anticipate these obstacles and build strategies to overcome them. And frankly, I didn't do a very good job of that in the last 6 weeks. But if you and I are going to succeed on a consistent basis, we have to do that. We've got to be smart. Well, write down at least one specific strategy for each obstacle. For example, here's an obstacle if you're trying to lose weight. Mindlessly eating for lunch what you always eat. In other words, going into default mode and not really thinking through it. Mindlessly eating. Well, here's a strategy. Plan your lunch before you leave the house where and what you're going to eat. It may be that you take your lunch with you. I've done that numerous times when I was in the corporate world. Or just deciding at what restaurant I'm going to eat and what I'm going to order. But don't do it in the moment because it's too easy to give over to your default response, to give in to the impulse of the moment. You've got to be more intentional, more strategic than that. Here's another obstacle, maybe to an exercise program or a goal that you're trying to do for this year. Your inability to work out on the road. Well, here's a strategy. Make sure the hotel has a workout room before you book it. And also pack your workout clothes and shoes. Just do it as a matter of course, just as something that is your habit so that you work out on the road. Because if you travel a lot, like I do, and you don't work out on the road, you're not going to be consistent. Here's another obstacle, and this would be a weight loss example, but eating more calories than I intend. I mean, how often have we done that? We go to the restaurant, our friends decide to order a dessert, and we decide to cave in, and we do it. Well, here's a strategy. Record. And by the way, this is one I've used personally, and it's helped enormously. I've got so many people that this has helped. But record everything in a little application you can get on your iPhone, and I think it's available for Android, called Lose It. All one word, Lose It. And this basically educates you about the calorie count of various foods. It's got a vast database. So almost everything that you enter in is going to be in the database. And if it's something new, you can save that as a recipe and reuse it later. It's amazing how limited in scope the number of foods are that you eat. And you find yourself after you've entered in the few times the foods that you're typically eating, how you can just repeat them with a few clicks. But this, more than anything, helped me lose weight several years ago when I was trying to really focus on it, lose about 20 pounds, is just being conscious of my caloric intake and shooting for a goal each day. That got me to my weight loss goal. So that's a strategy. And by the way, one great book you want to read on overcoming resistance, I highly recommend this. I'm sure I've recommended this in a previous episode, but it's called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. He's the one that wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance, and he writes a lot of military novels. He's a great writer, and this is a great book, mostly for writers, but anybody who's trying to achieve any kind of art or trying to make any kind of difference in the world. He talks about how resistance shows up and how you have to be determined to overcome it, and he offers several strategies for that as well. I have a link in the show notes to the book. So step number three, identify your likely obstacles. Step number four, develop new behaviors. This is really where you should focus your efforts. What are the positive new behaviors you want to develop to replace the old negative behaviors that you're trying to get rid of? These are the practices that will move you toward the goal. General George Patton once said, quote, "Now, if you're only going to win any battle, you have to do one thing. You have to make the mind run the body. Never let the body tell the mind what to do. The body will always give up. It is always tired in the morning, noon, and night, but the body is never tired if the mind is not tired." So, I mean, this just emphasizes the importance of keeping your mental focus and really focusing on controlling self-control, controlling your behavior. This is how you also harness the power of incremental change over time. I mentioned it before, and if you haven't listened to episode 6 of my podcast, I devote that entire podcast to this topic. It's such a powerful principle if you can harness it. But here are some of the examples of specific behaviors or practices that you might want to change if you were trying to lose weight. Eat healthy snacks like raw almonds, celery, or carrots. So, you know, just replace that unhealthy stuff you've been eating. Don't try to stop doing the unhealthy stuff. Instead, replace it or sublimate, I guess is the term that's often used for that. Another behavior or practice, share my entrees with Gail when we eat out so that I eat half the normal serving. I don't know what it is, but the older we get, the more easily we put on the pounds. So we've just gotten into the habit of sharing our entrees when we go out to eat. Not always, but frequently. And that just helps reduce the caloric outtake. And just pardon the rant here for a second, but restaurants who serve these huge portions, I don't know who they're trying to appeal to. I guess it's the American consumer that wants all that food. But all you have to do is look at the population and realize that we're eating more food than we've got room to assimilate. And that's why so many people are overweight. But the portion size is a serious problem, and you've got to attack it with the right behavior. Here's another behavior. Choose simple grilled fish rather than beef or even chicken. You know, it's much better for you. It's much lower in calories. And if it's just grilled, and most restaurants, even those that don't offer it on the menu, are happy to do it if you ask. So anyway, those are just some examples of behaviors. But notice that what I'm talking about is something very specific and very personal. These are the little things that will move the ball down the field 1 yard at a time toward the goal. And again, don't try to change too many things at once. If you come up with a full page of behaviors that you're trying to change, I can almost guarantee you it's not going to happen. You're not going to be successful because you need all the emotional energy you can focused on a few behaviors that you're trying to change, not a bunch of behaviors. So step number 4, develop new behaviors. Step number 5, stay focused. Read your goals daily. Review your reasons why. Anticipate obstacles and work on your new behaviors. Now, I've got all this in Evernote, so it's always available to me on all my devices wherever I am. I just keep it in one note. All these goals that I've got for the new year, and I've just got 7. But if you get off track, don't beat yourself up. Sometimes it's, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Like me, for example, the fact that I haven't exercised now in a couple of weeks because of this bronchitis challenge that I've been facing, it's fine. I'm going to get up and I'm going to get over this and I'm going to be exercising and I'll be out there next week hitting it hard. And, that happens to me a couple times a year. I get knocked off my game. Something sets me back. And I think that nothing is more important than consistently restarting. That's really the measure of success. Not the fact that you start and you have sort of this linear progression towards a goal and achieve it without any setbacks. That almost never happens to anybody that sets out to accomplish something big. It's just part of the process that you're going to encounter adversity. And why? Because at the end of the day, it's really not about what you accomplish, but it's what you are becoming. And it takes adversity to shape our character. So again, in conclusion, 5 steps towards developing more discipline. Step number 1, determine your goal. Step number 2, list your reasons. Step number 3, identify likely obstacles. Step number 4, develop new behaviors, not a bunch of them, just a few. And step number 5, stay focused. What I hope you've seen in this episode is that discipline is not really about willpower so much as it is on focusing what you really want. And if you get clear on that, discipline suddenly becomes much easier. So with that, let's get to some listener questions. I got a bunch of great ones. And the first one comes from Rebecca.
Hi, Michael. This is Rebecca Livermore from ProfessionalContentCreation.com. The question that I have for you is, how do you differentiate between a lack of discipline and a legitimate need for rest? Thanks so much, Michael. I appreciate all you do.
Rebecca, thanks. That's a great question. And I would say that, first of all, it's more art than science. I don't have a set of rules or a framework that you can use for evaluating this. But I can tell you that rest has got to be a priority. I think that we were made to surge and then rest, to surge and then rest. And if we don't have that kind of cycle or rhythm in our lives, we've got to establish it, because otherwise we end up with all kinds of problems and we're not of use to anybody else. But I think, again, listen to your body, listen to your intuition, listen to the people around you who love you most, who tell you when you're pushing too hard, and just dial it back. I can tell you that this year, one of my objectives is to do that very thing. I think I pushed too hard this last year. I tried to accomplish too much, and I just got myself out there consuming my reserves and not replenishing them like I should. So I'm determined this year to dial that back, maintain more margin, and protect my reserves so that I can really accomplish the things that matter the most. And the next question comes from Brad.
Hi, Michael. This is Brad Blackman. You can find me at bradblackman.com. I have a question about the podcast about discipline. And my question is, if you recommend trying to develop multiple disciplines at the same time, especially if they are related to each other, or if you recommend developing one at a time and just go in sort of a cascading fashion, develop one, conquer it, develop another one, and so forth. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Brad, as I said in the bulk of the podcast, I would recommend focusing on a handful. You need to find out what works for you, and a lot of it depends on the discipline. You know, if it's something that you've tried to take on before and failed at or not made the progress you want, then you may indeed want to narrow it down to that specific one and really make sure you've got some momentum before you tackle something else. But for sure, trying to tackle too many at one time is a recipe for disaster. So only do a handful at the very most. The next question comes from Aslam.
Hi, Michael. This is Aslam Najibdeen from Sri Lanka. I blog at aslamnajibdeen.com. My question is, when I try to implement a new habit, I really find hard to be disciplined for a long time. When I try to implement a new habit, I persist, I think, at least 4 or 5 days, then I found myself fall back to again to the previous habits. So I really like to know the tips and tricks that we can take as a baby step to persist in our new habits, and how to cultivate the discipline. And thank you very much. You're doing an amazing job. God bless you.
First of all, let me say that it's so cool that you're calling in from Sri Lanka. I just love the internet, how it connects us as a global community. This is a good question as well. And I would say that it's likely that you don't have your reasons listed. You're not connected with the vision of what you really want enough to drive you through or to pull you through those difficult times of adversity or those times when you want to quit. And this is the secret I found. It's not the discipline that we're after. I mean, I'm not out to eat less. I really don't even like to exercise. I don't even like to run. What I like is the feeling I get having run. I don't like writing, but I like the feeling of having written. And so this is how it is with a lot of disciplines, is that you can't focus on the discipline itself. You've got to focus on the result of the discipline and get connected to it emotionally, if you're going to push through these difficult times that we all face. By the way, this happens to all of us. There's always that messy middle. I don't care if you're running a marathon, or honestly, when I'm just out running my normal run, usually what I do is try to get fixed on the end result, which is finishing. And it might be an intermediary goal. Like I'll say, okay, I just want to get down to that telephone pole or some other milestone on my journey. And then I'll focus on a new one. And so I'll use that as a way of staying focused, not on the pain that I'm experiencing at the moment, but on the result that I want to enjoy when I've finished. Derek has a question. Derek?
Hello, Michael. This is Derek Duncan from Charleston, South Carolina. My web address is letterstoachristiangirl.wordpress.com. And my question is, as a Christian, how do we allow for grace in discipline? I mean, I know that we need to have discipline, but how do we keep from being pharisaical about it and bringing that death into our lives that extreme discipline can have? Thank you very much. Bye.
You know, I often get this question from Christians, and it's a very good one. But let's remember that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul said, quote, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified," end quote. So Spirit-led discipline is an integral part of the Christian life. But here's the key distinction. We don't do this to earn God's approval. We don't even do it to feel better about ourselves. We do it because this is what it takes to become all that God created us to be. Sanctification, becoming like God, is a process. It's a lifelong process, and it's a struggle, and it takes some work. Always, of course, fueled by the grace of God. The next question comes from Julie.
Hello, Michael. I'm really enjoying your podcast series. This is Julie Wells calling from sparkmission.com. One of the things that I really struggle with discipline is writing from my blog. I know that it would greatly help my business in many aspects, and I love to write. How do you find that you discipline yourself to continue to write so prolifically?
Well, I know I sound like a broken record, but again, you've got to connect with your reasons. I don't write my blog because I like writing so much, although there are times when I enjoy it. There are times when I hate it. There are times when I want to quit. There are a few times when I'm in the flow and really find it satisfying. But I don't write for writing's sake. I write to help people. I'm really focused on my audience and what can I do to offer them something that would be helpful. Another thing that I would suggest, Julie, is that you shift your identity. Start thinking of yourself as a blogger. This helped me immeasurably when I started to run, is to think of myself as a runner, to say to myself, literally, this was part of my the conversation that was going on inside my head, I am a runner. And I would say that today, I mean, because it's a fact, I'm a blogger. But even before it's a fact, you've got to start saying that to yourself. There's nothing more powerful in changing your behavior than shifting your identity. That's where it's got to start, because we always, there's just this natural kind of tendency for us to work out in our behavior what we believe to be true about our identity. And so we have to shift that conversation or that story that we're telling in our head. And then a really practical thing is schedule time on your calendar. Things that aren't scheduled on your calendar rarely get done, especially in our busy world where everybody wants a piece of you. So you've got to schedule time, make it a commitment. And when people ask you for that time, to say to yourself or to say to them, you know, gosh, I'm sorry, but I've already got a commitment. And you don't have to tell them what it is. You don't have to get explicit, but it gets you off the hook so that you can focus on something that you know, and you admitted in your question, is really important for you and for your business. So hope that's helpful. The next question comes from Tessa.
Hi, Michael. My name is Tessa Hardiman, and I'm calling from Ardmore, Tennessee. I blog at tessahardiman.com. My question for you is, how important is developing discipline for novice riders? Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, it's hugely important. In fact, I would say that discipline for beginning riders, and really this is probably true for almost any profession, is more about discipline than it is about talent. I'll take somebody that's disciplined anytime over somebody that's just talented and undisciplined. You're not going to get far if you're undisciplined, but you've got a lot of talent. But if you're disciplined and stay at it and do it every day, you'll make progress, and you'll make faster progress than the person who you think's ahead of you now because they've got a lot of talent. It's a kind of the old parable of the tortoise and the hare. So be like that tortoise and keep doing it day after day, plodding along, and you'll move forward. Paul had a question.
Hi, Mr. Hyatt. My name is Paul, and I had the pleasure of meeting you this year at the Catalyst Conference in Atlanta. I recently started blogging at withpurposeofheart.org. My question about discipline relates to using a calendar. I love schedule and routine, and I'm fairly good about planning, but sometimes I'm not good at all when it comes to executing the day or the week I've planned. How can I stay more focused on what I have intentionally planned to do? Thanks for your work and for any insight you can offer.
Paul, forgive me if this is obvious, but if you're not using a daily task list, you must. That's the only thing that keeps me focused, is beginning in the morning with a daily task list that has my 5, 7, 8, usually not more than that, list of tasks arranged by priority that I'm going to accomplish that day. Now, the sequence may get off. There may be other things that come in and interrupt that or become urgent that I didn't even consider when I was planning my day. But having a daily task list, I think, is critical. And I use a program called Nozbe, N-O-Z-B-E. There are a lot of programs out there, a lot of task managers. I mean, heck, you can just use, a piece of paper or your journal, but just have a list and stay focused on that. Complete one task, you know, the next most important thing, and then do the next one and just work through your list systematically and discipline yourself to do that. And if you can do that steadily for about 21 days, which is about how long it takes to build a habit, I think it'll get ingrained in you and it really will become a habit, and it will serve you in terms of executing on your priorities. The next question comes from Todd.
Hi, Michael. This is Todd Lyles at toddlyles.com. That's where I blog. Here's my question. How do you have discipline when you're absolutely dog tired? I mean, you can barely get your head off the pillow. I run hard every single day, and that is the obstacle that I face, Michael, is that I understand the importance of discipline, but when I'm just exhausted, it can be so challenging to still get up and do what I got to do. So your advice will be super helpful. Thanks for everything that you're doing, Michael, and I can't wait to hear your answer.
Todd, I feel your pain. We're not at our best when we're tired. And this is a little bit like the question I asked previously with Rebecca. I think some of the best things you can do when you feel like that, one of the best things you can do when you feel like that is to get some rest. You know, get a good night's rest. Schedule it if you have to, and schedule when you're going to go to bed. But get a good night's rest. My guess is, though, that it's more than that for you. My guess is that you're feeling a little overwhelmed. You've probably overcommitted, and you probably need to go through your calendar and do what I call on my blog calendar triage. And, you know, that's when you go through your calendar and just decide that there are certain activities that for the sake of accomplishing what matters most, you're going to have to give up. Or you're going to have to cancel, or you're going to have to reprioritize. But this is a systemic problem. This is probably not something that you're going to fix by just getting a good night's sleep. You've got to attack. And when I say attack, I mean attack your schedule. You've got to create more margin, which also probably means you're going to have to get better at saying no. And this is something I struggle with because I'm a recovering people pleaser. And so it's difficult for me to tell people, especially people that I care about, no. But if you're going to be successful and if you're going to really move the needle on the things that matter the most, you're going to have to get better at that. You need more margin in your life so you can get the rest so that you have the resources you need to really focus in on the priorities you want to accomplish. The final question comes from Victor.
Hi, Michael. Again, thank you very much for everything you do. I write about leadership in liderazgohoy.com. My question is the following. In the book, The Power of a Habit, Charles Duhigg says that there are keystone habits that if you do well in only that one, the success will cascade to other things. Like, for example, if you are disciplined in your exercise, it will help you also in your eating, resting, energy management, etc. In your opinion, what's the keystone habit or discipline for your spiritual life? That discipline that if you focus on that one, it will cascade to everything else. Thanks again.
You know, at various times, it's been different habits. You know, for years, my habit that was my keystone habit for my spiritual life was Bible reading. You know, I'd read through the Bible every year, and so I tried to start the beginning of each day with reading the Bible. I've actually shifted that a little bit since this last summer, and I've started trying to take 15 minutes of just stillness where I'm quiet, and I just kind of get focused, and I don't even try to pray at that time, but I just get still. And if I can do that on a consistent basis, everything else flows from that. Then I pray, then I read my Bible, and then I journal, which has become another habit that I developed since last summer and love it. I can't imagine living without that habit and processing my life and my work through my journal. So again, for me, it's that habit, but I love your idea, and I love the idea in the book, which I've also read, of finding that one keystone habit in the area where you're trying to attack and really making that sort of the foundation of everything else. But that's what it is for me. Jonathan Harrison also called in and wanted me to cover mentorship in a future podcast. And I just want him and you to know that I'm planning on doing that. So stay tuned. It really wasn't relevant to this topic, but I'll get to it. I promise. So let me leave you with this question. Where do you need more discipline? What do you need to do next to cultivate it? Well, to comment on this episode, go to my blog at michaelhyatt.com/036, as in episode 36, michaelhyatt.com/036. There you'll find the show notes and the links to everything we've talked about. One quick announcement as we wrap up here. We still have a few tickets left for the Platform Conference, which will be held here in Nashville on February the 11th through the 13th, 2013, just about a month away. This conference is for anyone who wants to jumpstart their platform or take it to the next level. If you're an author, a public speaker, a blogger, a recording artist, a business owner, entrepreneur, salesperson, mortgage broker, pastor, corporate brand manager, this conference is for you. We've got an incredible lineup of speakers, including my partner, Ken Davis, Pat Flynn, Jeff Goins, Stu McLaren, Cliff Ravenscraft, John Saddington, Kerry Wilkerson, Andrew Buckman, and Michelle Cachette, and of course me. But you can get all the details at platformconference.tv. There's a link in the show notes that'll take you there. Second, next Monday is Martin Luther King Day here in the U.S., And in honor of that, my next podcast will be on the topic of 8 leadership lessons from Martin Luther King Jr. These are some principles I gleaned from watching, once again, his famous I Have a Dream speech, which he gave back on August the 28th, 1963, a long time ago. But if you have a question on anything related to leadership, especially casting vision, which he was so remarkable at, please leave me a voicemail message at michaelhyatt.com/podcast question. This is a terrific way to cross-promote your blog or website because I'll link to it just like I did with the callers in this particular episode. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. I'd also be grateful if you would rate my podcast on iTunes. That helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible so people who have never heard of it can discover it. And if you'd like to comment on this episode, please go to michaelhyatt.com. Go to the show notes for this episode and scroll down to the comments section. I'd love to hear from you. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count.